Oh, well, they don't call this way for nothing. Welcome to the Fast Cars, Fast Girls podcast with Abby and Molly.
Oh,
as usual, our podcast is full of nothing but fuckery. And we started without you this week.
Yeah, we are recording legitimately, an hour after the Glen race ended. So
we are.
We're still on that race high.
We are still on that race high. And because it's not a race, if you're sober,
we've
been drinking. Beer won the bet, so Molly's about to open another of her beers.
Which we drank during the race.
We did. There you go.
Yeah, it's a Guinness.
I have moved to Scotch.
Scotch.
I've moved to Scotch, which is typically a drink I reserve for when I'm upset, and I am upset with how Newgarden did in this race. So,
well,
I ditched the beer.
Let's warm up the tires before we get started today.
Yeah, we should do that.
We're going to recap the GP at the Glen, which just happened. Our favorite segment, shit we didn't make up.
Yep.
We're going to be talking about some shit that we learned, which is the push to pass.
We're smart.
Talking about some female racers, and then let's look at the silly season. Let's see what's happening with some teams, because we got some sneaky information today.
We do. There's some movement. There's some insider info.
It's very insider.
Not so insider, but
we like to call it.
And then some things that we make up.
Shit we will make up.
That's most of this podcast.
I just got an alert. So speaking of the GP at the Glen, I just got an alert from IndyCar. This is Alexander Rossi was tagged on a new post. Yeah, I bet so.
So was Joseph Newgarden, okay? Back off. Everybody was just tagged, okay?
All right. Let's go back to the practices.
We all have that set up on the IndyCar Verizon Series app.
And if you don't, you should definitely download it. It's amazing.
It is. And if you actually have Verizon, you can listen to the in-car communication.
Which we did.
We did.
And we'll talk about that here in a few.
It's just enthralling.
It is. All right. Session one. Did you pay any attention to the sessions?
Not the practice sessions, no.
Okay.
I watched quals, but not the practice sessions.
All right. I'll run us through.
I was still in vacation mode, so
I'm not mad at that.
I was Netflixing. I was, honest to God, I was watching The Simpsons and eating Mexican food, so.
It's that last big weekend. I get that.
I mean, I kept up with the live standings. Like, I just checked my phone here and there, but I did not watch live.
All righty. Well, let's see. Session one, a couple of things happened. Kimball had an electric issue with his car, or an engine issue, but it turns out that he was up to the mileage on his engine, so he switched out and he was fined by P2.
Sure.
Turn eight caused some issue to both Ryan Hunter-Reay and Rossi. They spun, but there wasn't any damage.
That's good.
Yeah, session two, though, Chilton turned his car into turn five, smashed the car, and he was out of the practice session.
Yeah.
And it happened pretty early on.
Well, and those sessions were pretty short, too.
Yeah,
they
like
weren't
45 yeah. minutes-ish.
Well, and even the qualification sessions, I mean, they were quick, and they were just back-to-back-to-back. I mean, the last qualification session wasn't even supposed to start till 4, and they were done with it before 4.
Yeah, they definitely
I mean, they
were.
Just moved right the fuck through.
I mean, it speaks to my efficiency heart.
I mean, that's why we love New Yorkers.
Yeah.
We don't waste time on the East Coast.
No.
That's why I love my New Yorkers. And I'll tell you what, I just got off of a cruise, and if I could go on a cruise with only New Yorkers, I would, because the slowness with which people walk when they're on vacation makes me stabby.
Yeah.
Stabby. Okay. Like, this isn't NASCAR. You're three lanes wide. Get out of the way. I'm just trying to go to the casino. Just let me through. So, gotta love that New York efficiency. No time to waste. Things to do. People to see.
Okay. Also in that session, Kessler Neves smashed the wall at the exit of the boot in turn eight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Which, I'm surprised more people didn't.
It was a clean practice session. Like, all three, and in fact, the morning session too this morning, but I didn't doubt that. They were all clean sessions. So it went really, really well. I will say in the third session, Hinch and Chilton got into it, but they didn't get into it. Hinch was just upset that Chilton wouldn't let him pass, where we saw the rare sighting of the Canadian bird.
Yes. Yes, I did watch that.
That was great.
Oh, yes. Yes, Hinch found exotic Canadian birds on that track.
He definitely did.
He did indeed. I enjoyed the most, though, because he was throwing hand signals up left and right. The hand of, like, the what the hell,
yeah.
You know, the that everybody does in their car. But then when he actually did the bird, they managed to, like, flip on the logo with Max Chilton's face and, like, the arrow to his car. So it totally covered the middle finger.
Which was great.
It was great. But at the same time, I was like, oh, come on. Let the bird show. We all know what he's doing. Are you breaking shit?
No.
Okay.
Nope, I'm not. All right, well, those are the three sessions. Let's talk about qualifying. So they do qualifying here in two rounds. Then they determine the fast six, and then there's a shootout. So they pick six from each group. Group one, the six to advance were Rossi, Newgarden, Castro Neves, Sato, Kimball, and Power.
Yeah.
Not surprising in that.
Not surprising at all.
I mean, there was no name in that. Kimball, a little surprising, actually.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Always surprising. Second group, Dixon, RHR, Bourdais, Ray Hall, Pagenaud, and Munoz. And Munoz beat out Connor by maybe 0.1 of a second.
Yeah, it was super
close. So close, which I feel sad for Connor.
I know. And Connor was upset about it. I mean, he was sad he didn't make it in, but he was, you know, he was like, it's all right, you know, we're going to do what we can on the track. And
yeah, he's a good guy.
He is a good guy.
He's a good kid.
Right? I know. He is a child. What is he, 24?
God, I don't know.
Yeah, I have nephews that are almost as old as him.
I do have nieces as old as him.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. But yeah, no, he never says anything negative about anybody else.
No, he's pretty fair. I enjoy that about him.
I do too. He's just, yeah, well, and anytime we've met him, he's just a solid guy.
Yeah. I mean, I was a bit surprised to see Munoz in there.
Well, I mean, and I've said in the past that I'm surprised Munoz hasn't done better in his years in IndyCar because he did so well in the Indy Lights League.
True.
So we talked with, you know, Doug about that a little bit. Yeah. And he's a big Munoz fan. Well, he's a fan of everybody, as are we, basically.
Yeah, basically. But there's only a few people we don't like.
Yeah, really just one. Marco. Looking at you, Marco. but yeah, so I was excited to see Munoz, actually the last race and this race, have a little more oomph.
Yeah. He showed some spirit. So they picked 12, and so from those 12, they ran another to get the fast six. And so the fast six then were Dixon, Rossi, Sato, Kimball, Castro Neves, and Newgarden. And again, Kimball just surprised me that he was the fast six.
I was very surprised by that as well.
Yeah.
And then they did the shootout.
The shootout, and so top three, of course, were Rossi, Dixon, and Newgarden. Rossi got the first pole of his career, and I was jumping up and down.
And yet somehow you didn't pick him.
I know. I can't. Guys, I don't know what's going on in my life.
But anymore. You know what? I feel like it works out better. Like, anytime you don't pick one of your boys.
That's true.
They do really well. So I feel like maybe the haint is on you.
Well, maybe
you need to stop betting on Connor.
Yeah,
I'm kidding. Probably. I'm kidding.
No, I won't bet on
Connor. No, because you bet on him last weekend.
He did well.
Yeah.
That's true.
No, I think it's just Will and Rossi.
I'm just hainting Will and Rossi.
Yeah.
Which is sad, because I love Will and Rossi.
I know.
This is the story of my life.
Right?
Hashtag reasons why I'm single. so that were qual.
That's a separate podcast for both of us.
Separate podcast. Yeah. Anyway, so we're going into the race. I listened this morning to the practice session, and every single announcer decided to bring up the fact that it was going to rain.
Oh my God. They all had half chubs.
They did.
Talking. Don't get me wrong, okay? I'm 100% like an 89-year-old man in the fact that I love to watch the Weather Channel. I like to discuss the weather. Yes. I like to theorize. It's a word now. Johnny Walker says it's a word.
I agree with Johnny.
So, but, you know, I enjoy discussing the weather. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But for fuck's sake.
Every 3 minutes, they're like, it might rain. It might rain.
It might rain.
Oh, will it?
I think the car's going to be wet. If the car's wet, they're going to have to use different tires. If they use these tires, then it's going to be wet. Da, da, da. We created a drinking game where we
naturally
drank every time they said the word wet, which is why Molly's probably going to have to Uber home later.
I'm fine.
Well, not right now, you're not. Maybe in a couple hours.
Yes.
And somebody said, you know, I think if I was driving that I'd opt for full wet on the tires. And so, of course, I tweeted from our account, we always opt for full wet.
Oh, my God.
Which is a joke that only women can truly appreciate. Yeah. Went right there. So,
by the way, spoiler alert, it did not rain.
It did not rain. It rained before. It's probably raining now.
Probably. That's usually how it goes with IndyCar because Jesus loves IndyCar.
Jesus does love IndyCar.
It does not.
That is a fact.
Does not rain on the race.
Mm-mm.
It might rain near the race.
It might rain around the perimeter of the race.
But it does not rain on the race.
No.
You know who Jesus doesn't like?
NASCAR.
You go!
Yeah!
Yes!
You know what? Roger Penske thinks it. We know it. Jesus agrees. NASCAR sucks.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, it did not rain, but it had rained before, and so the fact that the track was wet did cause some squirreliness.
Yes.
And I thoroughly enjoyed hearing the announcer say they're getting squirrely out there.
Which is always fun.
I mean, I just love the word squirrely. It's just a great, like, everybody knows what you mean.
Exactly.
It's as good as an onomatopoeia. Like,
ooh, yeah.
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 So they did get squirrely because it was wet. There was a lot of wiggling around.
There were some wiggles.
Cars got loose.
I was worried with some wiggles I saw. I was like, this isn't going to end well.
Right? I thought there would be more cautions than there were, actually.
We got 3 cautions?
I think so.
Two of them were Sato's.
Yeah. Oh, Sato. Oh, Sato. So, our predictions recap.
Well, you want to talk about the race first?
Yeah, we can do that.
Well, first of all, we got to talk about Hinch.
Oh, Hinch. Breaking my heart.
It was a heartbreaker.
He's my favorite Canadian bird. Let me say that.
He's my favorite Canadian bird, too.
Aww. And Hinch, spoiler alert, I'm going to be in Canada next week. I know you're not going to be anywhere near there, but I'm going to be thinking about you while I'm there.
I thoroughly want you to tweet out hashtag where is Hinch.
Oh, I'm 100% going to tweet at Hinch while I'm in Canada. I am 100% going to do that.
Oh, God, you're going to use our account, aren't you?
I don't know why I wouldn't.
Guess who just replaced Ed as the new protective order?
You can't get a protective order against me. You're my attorney. You're on retainer.
No, not me.
Oh, Hinch. Okay. Hinch. I was like, you can't get a protective order.
I mean, I can. It's a whole thing, but I won't.
Really?
Okay.
I was like, come on now.
I'm not going to. Okay. No, Hinch will get the protective order.
No. Hinch is a fellow scuba diver.
All right. You keep claiming that.
Scuba divers, we have like... We don't have our own fraternity, but basically we do.
Okay.
We're all in like a secret club together. We enjoy ridiculously inappropriate jokes about scuba equipment, so no.
Okay.
Me and Hinch are cool.
You're cool.
He wasn't even offended when I yelled at him on the escalator. Even when I apologized for it later, he was like, oh no, you're fine.
God, that was one of the...
One of the most embarrassing moments of your life.
I don't know why you're making me relive that moment right now.
Until we started this podcast and you started going to more races with me.
Yeah.
And then you realize, this is nothing.
This, oh boy.
Why did I talk her into doing this with me?
This was a bad idea.
I made a bad choice.
I made a bad decision.
I made a bad choice.
So Hinch
was out.
Was out.
So sad. Yeah, his car. And when you listen to the audio of it, I mean, you could hear it. Because he
just dropped.
He shifted up, and then his car shifted down to first. And anybody who's ever driven a manual... Usually when you're learning how to drive a manual is when you hear that sound.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that, oh my God, I just left my transmission in the street sound.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what that sound was.
And it's terrifying. And you think to yourself, God, I hope I didn't just ruin this car. And most of the time you didn't. But for him, he
kind of did.
I mean, he didn't do it. The car did it.
No.
Yeah, the transmission was leaving that car with or without Hinch. That was...
I mean, you could come if you want, but I'm going.
Right. Nah.
Nah, bro.
No.
Out.
He started that race and his transmission said, nah.
Nah. It's Labor Day weekend. I ain't working.
Right.
It's transition it's a holiday. Strike.
They celebrate Labor Day in Canada?
Well, I don't know.
Does he have a Chevy or Honda?
He's a Honda.
Oh. Well, they definitely don't celebrate Labor Day in
Excuse
Japan.
Me. Honda has a whole factory in Greensburg. Anyway, his transmission left him, and he was out of the race.
It took off for the holiday weekend early.
It took a little bit of a vacation.
Yeah.
Which was unfortunate for him.
It was unfortunate.
I don't know. It just didn't feel like his week either.
No. Out of the last 3 races, he's not done that great. And so it just... The end of the season has not been Hinch's jam.
It is not.
It's really not. And I don't believe that it's driver-related issues because, I mean... We are big Hinch fans. We think he's a fantastic driver.
I just don't know what's going on with him.
I don't know what's going on with him either. So I hope that that's not a Hinch or something that's going to continue on his car. Hopefully Audi didn't move that Hinch from Connor's car to his.
I don't think she would have.
I mean, not on purpose.
Not on purpose. Not on purpose.
Not on purpose.
Not for Hinch.
Certainly not.
Ooh, let's talk about Kimball.
Oh, Kimball. Here's what I want to know. In addition to the myriad of IndyCar rules that are not enforced and penalized.
Found that one out.
Yeah, like, oh, you can't go below the line, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do blah, blah.
Race control is basically like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da,
that they're like, yeah, well, we don't give a shit. Although they like to fine Hinge for fucking everything.
Right.
Because apparently any car race control hates Canadians.
I was about to say, I feel like it's racism against Canadians.
I think so. I think they're anti-Canada.
You heard it here first.
Yeah.
Which is why I should be on race control.
Agreed.
Thank you.
Because we're not against anybody except Marco.
Right. Well, you know, he doesn't need any penalties. He sucks already.
Exactly. We wouldn't have to overly penalize him just because we hate him.
So, Kimball.
He was all over. Like, oh, I want to know. So, again, another incident that race control reviewed. Really?
With an AJ Foyt driver.
Again. They thought it was Connor Daly, and so I tweeted hashtag diabetes on diabetes hate crime. And then it turned out it was Munoz. Which, of course, we were just reading our tweets because we are watching it online, and they were on another goddamn commercial break. If anybody wants to sponsor our cable bill for next year, you just let us know.
Seriously.
I'll be happy to let you do it. I'm not too proud to beg.
No.
No, because these commercials are killing me. But yeah, and so, of course, race control was like, oh, nope, no action needed, no action taken, blah, 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 because there never is. But I want to know, will Watkins Glen fine him for the landscaping fees? Because he was in every square inch of grass in and around that track. In and around that track, every square inch of grass has Kimball's tire marks in it. I mean, honest to God, he probably drove twice the distance that he should have because of how much he was in the grass and not on the road.
Exactly. All over the flipping track.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
It's shocking when you watch it and then you realize that he is actually a professional driver.
Yes. Like, I feel like I could have done better than that. And an Indy car.
I have a 10-year-old niece that I'm positive would have done better than that.
My dog could have done better than that.
Fact. Well, she's got some anxiety, but Grindel could have done better.
Grindel could have done
better. Your parents' dog definitely would have done better. Yes. And would have flipped the bird.
Yeah, she would have. I'm training that dog right.
Yeah. You don't mess with German shepherds.
She fist pounds me.
You don't mess with Germans.
You don't mess with Germans.
You don't.
Or shepherds. So, yeah, Kimball all over the track.
Mm. And somebody tweeted about this and we retweeted it because it's the truth, is that
yes.
Kimball has had sponsorship out the ass for years when he has done nothing to deserve it, yet Connor has to struggle and beg and plead for sponsorship. And he's a much better driver.
Yeah. He doesn't crash as many cars. I mean, his cars have blown up before, but he didn't hit anybody.
No. And he doesn't cut people off. He doesn't do defensive blocking like Kimball does and get away with it.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
No.
I get that, okay, Kimball was the first driver to come out to say, I have type 1 diabetes and like, oh, this race for diabetes, blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's fine. But that shouldn't be the only reason that you get sponsorship.
No. I mean, it'd be like anybody with like I've got thyroid. Am I going to do like race for thyroid and get all my shit?
Sure. Until somebody else who has thyroid issues.
And is a much better racer.
Comes along and then they say, hey, thanks for your service. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
I don't know why nobody's throwing up the deuces to Kimball.
Well, maybe this year.
Well. I don't know. Chip Ganassi seems to be on his dick.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, we'll get into Chip later.
Yeah.
Chip.
I don't want to ask you this question because I'm concerned about how you're going to emotionally react to it.
Okay.
But, I'll allow you to... There you go. You ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
We have to talk about Joseph.
Oh, I'm just so sad.
I enjoy Joseph. He's not one of my top five drivers, but...
Sure.
Seeing that happen...
Ugh.
It was heartbreaking.
I mean... I'm just very sad about it.
Yeah, I am too.
But again, like Connor, Joseph Newgarden is one of those drivers that never puts the blame on anybody else.
Class act.
Class, 100% class act. And in fact, we turned to his radio, and he wasn't swearing. He actually wasn't even saying anything negative in any way. He was just like, hey, this and this happened, da da da. And he was like, I'm going to bring it around. And, you know, like, there was no mention of any blame. He wasn't like, bored to hit me, da da da, which, I mean,
it was weird because he first hit the wall and then he got squirreled and then Bordé almost came up under his back end.
Yeah.
And from our angle, I can't tell from what we saw, but I'd be interested to see it in another angle. I think Bordé kind of spooned him a little.
Oh, I think he spooned him for sure.
Him a little. Maybe more like a spatula flip.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just a little.
They come with a spatula because I turn people.
I was thinking more when you're trying to check for the pancakes. Is it done on this end yet?
Oh, no. Sorry. No, that's just an inside joke.
Okay.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, but he didn't say anything.
No, he did not say anything negative towards anybody else. It was just all about the status of the car and this and that. And then after the race, you know, they asked him about it, and he said that it was unfortunate, mm-hmm. that it was 100% his fault. And then he felt really bad for making that mistake. He said that his pit crew was perfect, that they did everything they should have, and that his mistake, you know, ruined their chances for winning. And I just think that, you know, and he is young as well. Yeah. He's 24. But I think that shows a lot of maturity.
It really does.
And also a lot of self-confidence to be able to admit when you're wrong.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I was very sad for Joseph, and they, you know, they replaced the whole rear wing.
Yeah.
And they went back out, and there were still pieces that were jacked.
So he had to come back in.
Because he was losing parts left and right, and he came back in, and he was in the pits. Well, it stopped counting at 90 seconds.
Yeah, they had to take out a Sawzall to cut off part of his car.
Yeah, they did.
We had to laugh about
it. We had to laugh about it because Molly's dad.
Oh my God, my dad loves the Sawzall, and I was like, where is my dad right
He could now? Do testimonial.
I almost looked.
Commercials for the Sawzall.
I looked real carefully at You're that like, pit
is
crew member, and I was like,
at this race.
Dad? Are you there?
Do you need a Sawzall? I've got one.
Run it down from the
right
bleachers. I've got a Sawzall.
The fastest he's moved in 15 years. I've got the power.
Just excited to have a Sawzall.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not making fun of your dad in any respect on this because I myself also love a Sawzall.
Oh no, I enjoy a Sawzall, but
I mean, I love power tools. Period.
That's basically his. Oh well, you can't fit. Okay, let me get my Sawzall.
Oh, we can't get it off? I'll get it off. We can do this.
We have the power.
We have the power. We have the technology. We have the power. So, yes. And a disappointing day for Joseph Newgarden's team.
Because it really it screwed him on the points.
Oh, it really screwed him on the points because he's now only three points ahead of Dixon. So he is still the leader, but by 3 points, which we said last week that we thought regardless of what happened this week, the Sonoma was going to be a shit show.
It will be.
Yeah.
2 weeks from now, shit's going to go down. We're going to have a leader, but it's going to be a dirty race, I think.
Oh,
and by dirty, I just mean that there's going to be a lot of fighting.
I mean, I mean in any way possible. I think that there is going to be no loyalty to any team member whatsoever. No. I think that it is just going to be balls to the wall, all out.
Man, it would have been great to go there. We cannot go to California in 2 weeks.
I just looked at Molly like, well,
No. There's no way we could put that together.
Well, not with that attitude. Not with that attitude.
I'm putting
Molly.
That on a shirt for you.
I know. That's my go-to phrase that I got when I was a nanny. Because the kids would be like, but we can't da-da-da. And I'm like, well, not with that attitude. And then I found that it's even more enjoyable to say it to adults.
It is very nice to say it to an adult.
It's fantastic to say to adults.
Very nice to say it.
All right, we can't go to Sonoma this year. Mom says we can't go. No, we really can't because I have to be, the race is on the 17th and I have to be Fort Wayne at work on the 18th.
Yeah, that's not
at like 7 a.m. So.
Girl, we can't fly.
I know, no.
I've done that red eye. It is not fun.
No, no. I know from personal experience that'll result in me calling in sick.
Maybe not on your
birthday. I've seen me do it. I've seen me do it.
I know, yeah, but let's not do it on your first day.
No, so let's not. So Sonoma next year, but it's going to be wild. So
it's going to be insane.
Oh, so sad day for Newgarden, but...
But you know who it wasn't a sad day for? Woo! Alexander Rossi!
Your boy! Woo! Alexander Rossi!
Man, we saw so much from him today.
Oh my gosh. Which, I mean, we talked about this last time as well. You would never know that it's only his second year.
He is not driving like a 2 year.
No.
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 I mean, I'm seeing 3 to 5 years.
Uh-huh. Well, and I even said to Molly today, because everybody knows how much I love Newgarden and that I've enjoyed watching him, you know, grow from his rookie year to now, his now sixth season. I said, give it 2 or 3 years, and Rossi, I'm predicting that Rossi is going to spank the shit out of Newgarden.
I know it's going to be a good fight. I'm excited.
I hope that Newgarden continues to grow. I think a big part of it is also that Rossi has been on a big team.
Yeah.
He's been with Andretti both times.
That's true.
Both years. And so I think that has played a part is that he's had, you know, but I mean, Newgarden started with Sarah Fisher. It's not like she was an unseasoned driver.
True.
By any stretch. It was a smaller team. Mm-hmm. Sure. So, you know, maybe the engineers and things weren't, you know, the same
caliber of Andretti, but as far as experience, you know, I think that he's been with experienced drivers. I think Rossi just...
He just took it this week.
He just took it, and I think that we're going to continue to see more and more from him.
I mean, I've been saying it since day one. This might not be his year, but next year is definitely going to be his year. So thanks to everybody else who suddenly jumped aboard that train.
Yeah.
All he announces, oh, well, next year's Rossi's year.
You fair weather fans.
I've been saying it for a while now.
Welcome to the party.
Excuse me, clutch and chill. Faux life. Faux life, yo.
Says the bitch who drives an automatic.
Well, I mean, I could drive a stick, but I just like my automatic.
I know, and you have in the past.
I have in the past.
I know, I give you shit, but I say I've ridden in your Hondas that were sticks, so.
That's right, Team Honda all the way.
And I say Hondas, plural.
Plural. I've never not had a non-Honda car.
No, you've only had Hondas your whole life. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you are Team Honda for life.
I really am Team Honda.
You really are.
I wish they would sponsor my life. Mm. Just saying, Honda.
Wouldn't that be nice?
That would be nice. I'll put shit on my car. I almost changed the paint scheme to the Jack Harvey paint scheme. Such a pretty car.
It is a pretty car. It's a nice pink. And I don't even really love pink.
Right. I'm very choosy.
I'm very picky about my pinks, but the pink of his car is nice.
With that little metallic sheen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with that sheen on it. Yeah, I'm with you.
Oh, yeah.
I'm with you. So, Rossi, I mean, first pole of his career. Which I'm surprised at, and his second win of his career.
Second win of his career, Elio.
Yeah, Elio was like, congrats on his first win.
Excuse me.
Slow your roll.
Whoa. He won that 500 last year.
In case you forgot, and he was so far ahead of everybody else that he won it coasting on
fumes. He was like,
fumes.
I don't even need gas to win. It's cool.
I'm so far ahead, I don't need shit. I'm just gonna coast through this finish line.
Turn it off and...
Me and my car.
Wave.
And just wave.
Well,
he probably didn't wave. He couldn't afford the wind resistance.
Also, by the way, showing some emotion today on the radio.
Yeah, so we make a lot of jokes about Rossi
being a serial killer
and a sociopath.
Yes.
And we turned to his radio multiple times today, and he showed a lot of emotion today.
He got a little grit in him,
which only endears us to him more.
Exactly.
We love to hear drivers use the language that we use.
I mean, it makes me feel better as a person.
It does.
I'm like, well, they're professionals.
And
we're professionals.
And we use this language, so...
So it's cool. It's okay.
It's fine.
I can use this language. It's fine.
Yeah.
I'm not unprofessional.
But yeah, they came over the radio about something, and he wanted a front wing adjustment, and they were telling him, like, no, the issue is this. And he was like, that is not my fucking problem.
No, that was when Sato was blocking him.
Oh, okay.
Because it was one of the times when Sato's engine was not working, and they wasn't going around. I think they said something to him, like, well, it's... his engine, or he's having problem. He's like, that's not my fucking problem. I was like, damn.
I mean, if I had a dollar for every time I've said that at work, that's not my fucking problem.
I have a lot of monies.
Yeah, I have my student loans paid off, I'll tell you that. I'll tell you that right now. Oh, and then, yeah, he said he wanted someone on the front wing, and then they came over and they were like, yeah, we don't think you need to adjust the front wing, blah, blah. And he was like... oh, yeah? Well, I'm getting a lot of vibration. He gave over basically like, oh, you want to tell me what I need in this car? Because I'm pretty sure that I'm the one that's in the car. I'm pretty sure I'm the one who's driving the car.
I'm driving it. I'm feeling it.
Are you
in the car driving?
Because I am. When you say we don't need front wing, do you have a mouse in your pocket? Because...
Now, I forget. He also came on, was it when the... I think it was during... them talking about the front wing adjustment, he also said, where they're like, we're not, you don't need it, we're gonna do something to the back, and he just went, whatever, fine.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, that's not fine as in fine.
It was not in fact fine. It was not fine.
Oh, so excited to see him really kind of coming into his own.
Yeah. And to hear just, I mean, because typically on the radio, he is very...
He's just copy.
10-4, copy.
Like, yep. Duh, no. Yep. Like monosyllabic.
Okay, yeah. And monotone.
And monotone, yes.
But I mean, when he said that's not my fucking problem, he yelled.
We lost it.
We did.
Lost it.
I have no idea what happened for the next like 20 seconds of the race because we were losing. We were like, all right, Rossi. Because
that's important to us when they lose their shit.
I mean, it
makes me feel better about my life.
It just adds another element of why we love it.
Also, so he obviously won, which I'm still excited about.
As you should be.
They came over his radio. said, wave to your fans. And then there's a silence. And they go, copy, wave to your fans. And he goes, copy, and you'll have to find it. And if we can find video, we are
going to repost it. And just, he holds up an awkward hand.
And it was basically...
It's like the beauty queen wave, but it wasn't moving.
It wasn't moving.
Like, four fingers together, thumb kind of out. Like, if you imagine, like, a Barbie doll's hand, how it's just that solid plastic. It was just up, and then it slowly just came down in, like, almost like a loose fist. And he just held it up. Like, that was his wave. And I was like,
it just reminded me of the point of, like, Ricky Bobby, where he's like, I don't know what to do with my hands.
Just put him down. I don't know what to do with my hands.
Fantastic. It was great. It was absolutely great. I'm still a little bit on cloud nine about
that. Oh, you should be. You should be. He fought his, I mean.
It was a good win.
Because he was not in P1 the whole race. No. I mean, he changed positions and had to fight his way up.
Definitely.
I don't want to forget to mention Spencer Piggott's amazing save.
Yes.
Came out of a turn. His car did 2 360s.
Right.
Like, it came back on the TV, and we were like, why is he stopped? What is happening? Oh, my God, Spencer, get it together.
We're like, shit, Ed's going to fire you.
Ed's going to fire you. And then they played the replay, and we were like, oh, good on you. Look at, winning with 360. It was a 720.
Anyway, no, that was fantastic. And he finished 12th.
Yeah, he did.
That's not bad for him.
No, that's a very decent win.
That's a decent placement.
That's a very solid win. Which,
Yes. Also, kudos to Max Chilton.
Finished 8th today.
Not bad.
Not bad at all. And I feel like that was his... That was out of the book, 1,001 ways to say F you, since they pulled him from the race last time. And he was like... And so this week he came and he was like, oh, I'll show you what I can learn.
Mm-hmm. He's like, look what I learned, bitches.
Yeah.
And they came 8th.
Yeah.
And the Foyt team, 10th and 11th.
Hell yeah.
Unfortunately, Connor was 11th. So, and not 10th, so we kind of got screwed on that point.
Yeah, and it was not faster and grippy.
It was, well, that was the other one that was faster.
No, I know, but it's still a ridiculous joke.
I feel like he said that knowing.
Oh, yeah.
Knowing.
I mean, he's 24, of course he knew.
I mean, we still make those jokes, and we're...
33.
Adults.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Well.
I mean...
Technically.
Technically, we're adults.
And Spencer Piggott had his first ever laps led in an IndyCar race.
That's right. Good on him.
Good on him. I mean, it was because other people had pitted and whatever, but still, to lead laps in an IndyCar race, I don't want to put any caveat on that.
No.
I don't want Doug to accuse me of being a NASCAR fan. I mean, putting an asterisk by anything. But yeah, that is still something to be proud of. And I mean, he's got to be on cloud nine himself.
I hope
for how well he did. How well he placed, and how well he raced today. Because he ran a great race.
He did. I'm not unhappy about that at all.
And the time he lost with his 720. Squirrel. Yeah.
His little squirrel there. His little swirl about.
His little twirl.
He went, wee!
Woo!
You knew he threw his hands up in the air. Like on a roller coaster. Just hands up.
Actually, I'm pretty sure he has hands on the wheel the whole time. I'm trying to...
I'd have thrown my hands up.
Well, I guess... I don't know. I probably wouldn't have.
I'd be
the person that would break my wrist all the time because I would never let go of the wheel because I just can't handle not being in control of the car.
I get that.
Yeah.
I get
That's another reason I couldn't be a driver is that they'd be like, you're going to hit the wall. And I'm like, I can save it. And then I'd break everything. I'd be in like double full arm cast out to my side. Well, she broke both wrists, elbows, shoulders.
Fingers.
Radius and ulna on both arms, 8 of her 10 fingers, multiple bones in the hands, one humerus was a spiral fracture, which is typically only seen.
But she did say, and I quote, worth it. Let's be real.
100% worth it.
But did I save the car?
Well, if I broke all that, I guarantee I didn't save the car.
So let's go through our predictions here.
So I had Newgarden's first place.
No,
I got screwed hard.
No
on
points
that.
On that one.
Yeah, I'm just gonna drink some Johnny Walker on that. You're breaking more things.
Yep. Then you had Dixon for top 5, so you got a point for that.
I got a point for that.
Yes,
because he finished second.
He finished second.
He tried real hard, but he could not.
He was chasing him down, and at the end, I think they both were almost to the end of their P2P because they just hit the button and hoped.
But at the like with 20 laps left, they were talking about how much P2P that Rossi had left.
Yeah.
And typically Dixon is the one who holds back a shit ton. And they were like, yeah, Rossi had used almost none of his.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he ran a very strategic race today.
He did.
And then I had Connor in top 10. He finished 11th.
Damn it.
Maldición.
So close.
Merda.
I mean, I got caught on that one too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 1 point for me.
Yeah, because you had Piggott as the first crash.
I did. And I'm happy to see
he didn't that really
he
crash.
Was not. Yeah. Or as the first out.
Yeah, we're also saying if they crash, whatever.
Yeah. No, I think first out for the race.
Is that what we're calling it now?
Yeah, we're going to call it first out since we defined it last time.
But you did say Bourdais will do well, and he came in 17th. Well, and he also clipped Newgarden. I think that had a lot to do with it.
Well, yeah, because we saw a lot of coverage of Newgarden's car getting repaired, but we didn't see coverage of Bourdais' car, which you know had to be repaired because...
Yeah, must have been something wrong with that front end.
Oh, I guarantee it, because he scooped up...
Newgarden.
I mean, yeah, he scooped up Newgarden.
He spooned him a little bit.
He spooned him.
He's the big spoon.
He was the big... Okay, if you've ever seen Bourdais, you know he's the big spoon. Okay? And I'm not saying that Newgarden wouldn't be a big spoon in the right company. Me in particular. I'd be happy to let him be the big spoon. He's very tall. But Bourdais is nobody's little spoon.
No.
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 No. But I wish we would have had the radio on Bourdais, because I'm sure that he was swearing up a storm. He was like,
sure.
What the shit? It is my second race back.
I'm running into this guy?
This douchebag right here.
Hits the wall. Comes into my lane.
Which, I mean, Bourdais tried to avoid him, but it just, yeah.
So, yeah, it was just one of those unavoidables, really.
So, yeah. So he did not do as well as I thought he would have. So even my...
Ledger bet.
Yeah, even my off-book bet was wrong. I was just...
Well...
I've been fucking up the last couple weeks.
That's all right. You beat me.
Well, that's really all that matters.
That's true in this one. That's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
Because I had Dixon in first place. He came in second, so I got a 0.5.
Yep.
Yep. I had Pagenaud top 5. He was not top 5.
Nope.
No.
In fact, he was behind Chilton.
He was behind Chilton because he was trying to catch Chilton.
He was. He was trying to catch him hard. And honest to God, I feel like I'm going to have to think of a new nickname for Chilton other than Paris Chilton. It's a little derogatory, but I feel like he really showed some serious stones this week.
He really did.
And so we might have to think of a new nickname.
I'll hold that till we talk about who's moving where. I'll hold it.
All right. You hold up.
So
and then you had Connor in the top 10
I had Connor
10 as
for
well.
Top 10, and then I had Marco for first crash. And really, it was just Sato who got out.
Well, Hinch was first out.
But Sato was more of a crash.
And then Sato was a crash,
I did say off book that the Penske boys would throw shade, but I think that Roger hired a mediator because they were like, Simon and Newgarden have talked, and they are okay now.
Oh, did they say that?
It was during one of the practice sessions. They're like, yeah, Simon and Newgarden have talked, and they're okay. And I was like...
False, they're not
but
okay.
But are they really?
No, they're not. They just said that. I'm calling 100% bullshit on
it's
that.
It's like when you go to your mom, and you're like, no, we're fine, we made up. And your mom's like, okay. And then you look at your sibling, and you're like, I'm going to kill you. Like, that's what happened.
It's, yeah, when you give them the like, meet the Fockers, like... I'm watching you.
I just drag
a finger across the throat. Like, no, we're great. Your mom turns her back, and you're like,
killing you.
Yeah, they're not okay.
No, they won't be okay until the end of the season, I think.
But since Joseph had all those issues today, there really weren't any on track. Yeah, there weren't really any on track shenanigans of Pagenaud and Newgarden together.
True.
So I still am going to agree with you in that prediction that the next time that they are like side by side on a track and one's trying to pass the other, that there will be no fucks given. There will be lots of shade.
I think Roger just needs to hire somebody to have him sit down and talk it out. And
oh, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, I think let him. They're boys. Okay?
They are boys.
Here's the thing. There is a big difference between men and women.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And boys can have an issue. They might fight about it physically. And then they'll be best friends as soon as it's done. Like, they just need to get that energy out. Hmm. Girls, we like to talk things out.
That's true.
We want to make sure that you're hearing us. You're not just listening to us, but you're hearing us, okay? Yeah. And it's a whole thing.
So what you're saying is that they just need to go fight it in a parking lot, and they'll be fine.
Well, I'm saying I think they're going to fight it in Sonoma.
Well, that's true.
I mean, if they fought it before then, you know, whatever. But I think that, yeah, I think that they're gonna fight it out in Sonoma, and that there will be, you know, no grace given one way or the other.
Yeah.
Whatever happens, happens, and then I think they'll be fine.
I'm just sad Sonoma's a road course, not an oval.
Ugh, it's breaks just, my heart.
You know.
Well, it breaks my heart to have a road course be double points, too.
Well, that's true. Mm-hmm. I feel like if Sonoma's double points, then Indy should be triple points. Just putting that out there.
I mean, because it is the best.
It is the best there.
The Indy 500 is the GOAT.
It is. Nobody else is the GOAT.
AJ Foyt is the GOAT of IndyCar, and the Indy 500 is the GOAT of IndyCar races.
100% agree. I'm already excited for him.
You know what? In this podcast right now. Done. That's all done. I need to say.
Out. We're done. Done.
Boom. Mic forever. Drop. I didn't really drop it. I just hit it because this mic is kind of expensive. And I feel like Molly would kick my ass if I really just threw it on the floor.
So just be just a live Twitter feed of me crying on the ground.
Or of me on the ground and you kicking me in the ribs repeatedly. You think your ribs broken now?
I wouldn't. But speaking of Twitter.
Well, you wouldn't video it.
That's true.
Because you're an attorney and you know better. It's not about what you know, it's what you can prove. Her rib was already broken. How can you prove I did anything?
What? You ruined my really good segue.
I'm sorry.
You stepped all over it.
It's what I do.
I know. I said, speaking of Twitter.
Speaking of Twitter. If you do not already follow us on social media, you definitely should, because if you think we're funny here, we are hysterical on social media.
Definitely.
Oh my god, we're hysterical. So, on Twitter, we are at FestCarsIn317, and that's IN, because again,
we're adults.
We're adults, and we spell words out. We're also on Instagram, which is the behind-the-scenes look at the women behind this podcast. Holla.
I don't know why we both posed.
I know. Well, because we do usually video, but we're not today. No. But we both just posed. And so on Instagram, it's at Fast Cars Fast Girls.
Yes.
We have a Facebook page also, and it is Fast Cars Fast Girls.
Yes.
Make sure you spell out the whole thing. There are spaces between the words on Facebook. Check it out. It's a good time. And if you want to contact us for any reason whatsoever, any questions you have, anything you'd like us to discuss in the off season or in the current season.
Yeah.
Or if you're involved in racing in any way and you'd like to be a guest on our show, or if you just have some great stories and you would like to tell them to us anonymously,
let us know. Or
so,
if you're going to be an Indy in May.
If you're going to be an Indy in May and you want to hang out for any of the events during the month of May, please hit us up. So our Gmail is fastcarsfastgirls317@gmail.com.
Seriously, guys, give us a follow. It's really great. Also, since we're talking about our social media, I'll take this moment to say, if you've not subscribed to our podcast, you should. You can do that either, well, through...
Do it. Stop. Do it.
In just about any podcast hosting situation, I know we're on iTunes and Google Play, and they have the option there to do an automatic subscribe.
And an automatic download on the Google Play.
And on iTunes, so yeah. Hit that up, so you don't have to go like, man, I wonder if this Wednesday they're going to drop a new one, which we always do, but anyway... But there will be for you.
But you don't have to wonder. It will just automatically upload to your phone. And you can wake up in the morning and say, well, look at that.
My goodness. On hump day, these lovely ladies, fantastic.
Is that why you drop it on Wednesday?
No.
Well, it should be.
I can't be now. I don't do Tuesday because it's too tight. Thursday, usually I'm in hearing. So Wednesday just worked out for me.
Sure. Sure.
I feel like Friday's too close to the weekend.
It's way too close to the weekend.
So it was just...
Ain't nobody listening to podcasts.
I can't do it by Monday.
When the weekend comes.
Can't, I can't do it by Monday.
No, Monday's not happening.
We either tape Sunday or Monday. I ain't turning around.
No.
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 So anyway.
Well, and I'm not doing it. No, I haven't. And I believe that I've thanked you.
No, it's okay. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, no, I love that you handle it.
I'm okay with it.
I love that you do.
It's fun for me.
I love you for doing it.
I know you do.
If you got nothing else going on hump day, you got two lovely ladies to listen to. So
talking about IndyCar.
Hit the automatic, download, talk about IndyCar.
Also, maybe rate and review us.
Not maybe. Rate and review us, okay? It helps us. It helps us gain listeners. If you think we're funny, if you think we're even a little bit chuckle-worthy, if you think that, you know, if you enjoy us at all, share us with your friends and family and rate us. Rate us and review us because that also helps us grow our listeners.
Yes.
The more ratings and reviews that we have actually iTunes and Google Play will push us out in the category of sports podcasts. So you'd be doing us a huge favor. And I sent out a tweet earlier thanking all the listeners, and I want to do it on this podcast as well. I want to thank everybody that does listen to us and everybody that follows us on social media and retweets things and likes our posts on Instagram and Facebook and all that business, because it does mean a lot to us, and we really appreciate it. And it makes a big difference in our podcast and in who we can affect.
Yes, 100%.
So the number of people. So please rate, review us. And if you're listening and you're not rating, review us, and you meet us in May, I may or may not throw a PBR at you.
Just a PBR, too. Just a PBR. Or a Miller Lite.
All right.
Are you ready?
Ready as I'm going to be. Shit we didn't make up.
We have talked a lot on this podcast about our favorite little wily Aussie rookie, James Davison.
James Davison.
Who's fantastic.
He is fabulous. And we met his dad and his dad's BFF, who is a former F1 champion.
Yes.
And they were,
they were like peepaws.
Molly and I, like, our bread and butter is crushing old men.
Yeah, let's be real.
Like, that's our bread and butter.
Yes.
Okay? And we happened to just see them before the banquet started, and we were like, these guys, we want to, there's no free tables, we'll just grab these guys, yes. And then we just start chit-chatting, and we find out that they are, you know, with James Davison, and we were like, even better, because James Davison was a straight badass.
100%.
And we got great stories, mm-hmm. and they were just, characters.
Oh my god.
Characters. So we love everything about Davison.
And fun fact, his that cousin...
Wily little Aussie.
His cousin, Will Davison, used to race with our other favorite Australian, Will Power.
Really?
Yes, in the Formula Ford circuit in Australia.
Interesting.
Yes. So the whole... I double-checked this and I looked everything up. I guess a lot of the Davisons are racers.
That does not surprise me.
Doesn't surprise me.
Does not surprise me at all. In fact, I think that his dad used to race, but he gave it up fairly early on. I think that's how he and his best friend met, was that they were
like BFFs competing in the race.
Yeah.
It's cool.
But I'll tell you what, both of them,
cut-ups.
Oh, total cut-ups.
Just cut-ups.
And we told them that we love listening to the radio of the Australian drivers, because I said, I love Australians because they talk the way that I talk all the time. And he said... Yeah, we tell it like it is. And I was like, yeah, you do.
Yes.
Yeah, you do. So, well, that's fun. I didn't know that. Will Davison and Will Power.
Yeah, I've been reading Will Power's book.
You have been.
I've really enjoyed it. It's really good.
I know. I want to read it.
I would recommend it. It's a good read.
Yeah. It's on my to-do list. I think I'll read that on my next cruise.
Okay.
Yeah. Download it on the phone.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I got it on my, first generation Kindle.
Look, we're learning.
Look, Ma, we're learning.
We're doing things.
So we had talked about Push to Pass 2 or 3 episodes ago. I can't remember the context. I should have been better at that.
You know what? If you know the context, then you can tweet it out and tell us we were wrong. And in that case, you're a super fan, and you get a gold star from us.
And a beer if you come to the track in May. Yeah, I'll get you a
beer of your choice.
Yeah, we'll even let you choose.
As long as it's not in a glass bottle, because that's against the rules.
Can't bring it in. Nope.
Can't do it.
Can't do it, guys. So we talked about it, and we kind of, at the end of it, we weren't quite sure how Push to Pass worked and how it got started, and so did some digging, because...
Appreciate that.
That's what I do in my job.
Well, yeah. I mean, we both do research.
Yeah,
it's 100%. None of us are in research, but we do research
with our jobs.
That's
part of
our job.
So it started back in August 1st of 2009 at the Kentucky Speedway Meyer 300.
Well, and the Kentucky Speedway is where Sarah Fisher still holds...
There you go.
...the track record for speed.
I like to hold that down for you every time I can throw out Kentucky Speedway.
You know it.
I know. I
love Sarah Fisher.
Oh, my God. I love her so much.
I have such a woman crush on Sarah Fisher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She... Not she, my goodness. That race at the end featured Briscoe and Carpenter dueling. Briscoe won, but the difference was 0.0162 seconds.
Damn.
And at the end, they were both just, hitting the push-to-pass button.
Yeah.
Because at the time, it involved a 10-second recharge. So they would hit it, it would kick in, then they have to wait, and it would go, so it's...
And so it's just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, so just,
I kind of think of it as, like, if anybody's ever used that morphine pump or whatever you have for pain...
PCA, patient controlled analgesic pump.
You can hit it.
You can hit it, but it's set, like, you get this much per this many minutes, and so you hit it, and then you have to wait until you can hit it again.
And you can hit it.
Hitting it. But it's not going to give you anything until X number of minutes has passed.
So back then...
It's a great comparison, by the way.
Thank you.
Excellent analogy.
Ta-da! The alternator would shut off, and the alternator is what kind of charges the electricity to all the electric parts of your car. The alternator would shut off, and that would increase the revolutions from 5 to 20 horsepower.
RPMs.
Your RPMs. Your engine would spin quicker, and it also changed that fuel map a little bit so the engine got more fuel.
Yes, and by the way, that's in thousands.
Yes.
Yeah. That's when we say 5 to 20, that's in thousands. In case you're not a person that knows a lot about cars, we say 5 to 20, that's in thousands. So.
Yeah. It's just, I wrote 5 to
20. I just want to be clear that we're not idiots.
No. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I got you. I got you, boo.
Thank you, boo-boo. Let's see. In 2015, there was an increase of 60 horsepower, or 60,000 horsepower.
Yeah.
So the normal horsepower at that time was 700 horsepower or 12,000 revolutions per
minute.
Thank you.
12,000 RPMs.
Yep.
Or 12 RPMs.
Or 12 RPMs. So what it would do then was it increased the pressure between your compressor exit and the inlet to the combustion, which, oh my goodness.
We don't have to get into it.
Okay. We're not going to get into it.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, I can get into it. I have a full lecture on it because I grew up with Joe Meyer.
True.
And I grew up working on cars.
Oh, I found a whole shit. And I might find it and tweet it out because there's a very nice breakdown of the different parts of cars.
Oh, nice.
So I might put that out there on their Twitter because it even shows you how everything moves. And it's interesting.
It is very interesting, especially when you see all the pistons and everything works together. Moves. And and it also, when you watch things like that, lets you know why it is important to like get your oil changed and change your transmissions and fluid. And transmission fluid.
You're speaking in cursive.
I am speaking in cursive. But why it is important to do maintenance on your daily driver car when you look at even how these race cars are put together, because it does make a big difference. Like you think, oh, I'm just going to go, you know, 1,000 miles past my oil change and this and that, but it actually has bigger effects than you think it would.
Yes.
Once you see how everything works together, it's quite intricate. And in fact, my dad was a mechanic for a while before he was a police officer. And then afterwards, like, just did on the side and helped out friends, whatever. And he always said that, you know, there's not a lot of difference between a mechanic and a cardiothoracic surgeon.
100% agree.
I completely agree with that. I mean, I'm a cardiac nurse. I'm a critical care nurse, but my first love's cardiac. And, you know, it's all about parts and pieces that go together and how you're moving fluid through the parts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really very, very similar as far as when you look at, you know, just, okay, we have to connect this to this and how does it work together and how does it function and all of that business. And so it makes a huge difference, and it's way more intricate than you would than you would really think that it is.
100%. So it's very interesting.
Yeah.
So that's what happened in 2015. They increased the pressure about 15, and we'll just leave it at that because it's a whole, like, Pascal units, and I'm not even gonna get into that.
No.
2017, they did change it. It used to be, like, you got a certain amount of pushes. And now they just give you the time range, which is nice because then you can use it, like, I'm only going to use it a little bit or I'm going
to
use it a lot.
Well, and you have the option to turn it off.
And you have the option to turn it off.
You can start to use it and then decide, not going to happen, turn it off. Whereas in the past, you would hit it, it would run for its course, and then if you decided after you hit it, oh, I don't really want to use it, well, you're just screwed.
Sorry about you.
Yeah.
Which feeds into the research I did, kind of the future question was using it on ovals. They're not using it on ovals right now. Obviously, it's only used on road courses, which I think they chose road courses because there's some overtaken road courses, but the use of push-to-pass kind of helps in the more overtaking.
It does. Because there aren't a lot of straightaways on road courses, and so the area where you can overtake is smaller.
It's limited.
It's limited. It's more limited than it is on an oval. But I don't want to see that on ovals.
I am concerned, and the article I read even said, like, the biggest issue is if you come to switch it off in the middle of a turn, like, you're diving through, like, either turn one or turn two, and all of a sudden you have to switch it off. What the hell is that going to do to you and your car
force?
Like, I think there's just too much there.
I think there's safety issues that we can go into, but I don't think it should be used in ovals.
I don't think you need it in ovals.
I don't think you need it.
I think ovals are exciting enough without the use of push-to-pass.
Yes, and one of the big things about push-to-pass is that they wanted to make the races more exciting, because 100%. What would happen is that, like what happened at the Brickyard 400 for us this year, is that one person gets out front and nobody can catch them.
Or, let's be real, like what happened at Mid-Ohio.
Mid-Ohio.
Joseph got that clean air, built a lead.
And nobody could catch him.
That was it.
There was, yeah. Nobody could get around him.
Nobody was going around him.
And no matter how much push-to-pass they used.
Yeah, I mean, they could have sat on that button.
Yeah, they could have sat on it, and they were not coming anywhere close to him. No. And so part of it is to keep the sport exciting for the viewers and for the fans. But I don't feel like ovals need that. And I'm
with you. I don't think they need it. I'm 100% in agreement.
Because I feel like they go so much faster on ovals anyway that I think that
there's enough excitement there naturally.
Well, there is excitement there naturally. And especially next year, I'm anticipating
the
new aero kit. I feel like we're going to see faster speeds. I've said this before, but I think we're going to see faster speeds because of the adjustment and where the downforce is coming from.
Yes.
I think we're going to see speeds closer to those Ari Lyndyke speeds in general on our super speedways, which is going to give me straight lady wood.
I cannot wait.
I mean, not even a half chub, like full on lady
I just cannot
wood.
Wait.
And so I think you add push to pass onto that, then it just... It's, I don't know. I just think there's no need for it.
I'm with you. I don't think there's any need. So we learned all about push to pass today.
We learned about it.
We learned, guys.
And we will tweet out.
I'll tweet that out.
Yeah.
I need
the site if you care more about how the horse barrel works and your alternator and how everything works together and all that business. All
right. So I was asked a question by one of our very loyal listeners.
Yes.
Yes. Wanted to know, what do drivers get when they win? And do the second and third place win? You know, do they get something? And what happens when you lose?
Sure.
So typically, and I did some Googling, because I got asked this question a little late.
Yep.
So obviously for the 500, you get a payout. I mean, we knew it when we went to the...
Yes.
Everybody gets a check. You also get a 50,000 bonus or bump in 2016 for Rookie of the Year.
Yes.
So you get Rookie of the Bump. Monies go to the driver, but one of the big questions that I can't really answer is how does that get divvied up, because that's probably contractually obligated.
Yeah, I don't know if it goes to the team. I mean, it probably depends on their contract.
Yeah, so the driver might get the check, but then the team owner can be like, hey, thanks, you only get like 10 or 25% based
right.
on your
well,
contract.
And it probably also depends on the size of the team and whether that driver is a paid driver or not. If they're a paid 100%. Driver, I bet they get a bigger percentage of it than if they are... having to provide their own sponsorship.
Yeah, yeah.
Which this was actually something that came up that we didn't get into after the Texas race, the clusterfuck 600.
Sure.
And one of the things that people were kind of up in arms about after that was that, you know, that race had all this risk and it was just craziness, and that the winner got barely more than $30,000.
Wow.
And so when you come from the 8500 where the winner typically gets... more than $2 million.
Yeah.
And you also get money in the Indy 500. Like, you get points in the championship for how many laps led. But in the Indy 500, they actually pay you a certain amount of money for each lap led.
Yes.
And not every race does that. That is, you know...
It's kind of our...
It's our thing. Because, I mean, that is kind of the hallmark race for the IndyCar League.
Right.
With the Texas race, I mean, the winner didn't even get $30,000. I mean, that didn't even cover the cost of a car.
No.
I mean, think about that huge wreck that took everybody out. It's like, if you win, you win $30,000. Like, why are... I mean, people were saying, like, what is the point of even racing there? Like, what is their motivation to even keep coming back when you... If you win the race, you don't even make enough money to do anything with.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've just looked it up. Sato earned $2.46 million this year. The total purse was $13.18 million.
Yeah.
So...
And that was because he won. Like, had he led more laps than he did, he would have had an even higher purse.
Probably, sure. And a lot of other races that you get a payout. So Texas, you get a payout. I think a lot of them pay out maybe just 1 through 3.
Yeah, I think Texas, like, third place got, like, $5,000.
Fourth place got, like, a Steak and Shake gift card.
Yeah, right?
Thanks, but no thanks.
I think you just got a hat.
A nice 10-gallon hat?
Yep, a nice 10-gallon hat.
There you go.
I mean, I'm not saying that $30,000 isn't a lot of money. I'm just saying that wouldn't even pay off my student loans.
Oh, definitely not mine.
Not even close. Nope.
No, that doctorate was expensive. So they pay out other places. You also get trophies. Most of them all handle out trophies.
Yes.
I think some give rings out. I can't tell you which ones.
Yeah, I think some do give rings. And I know for the Annapolis 500, because obviously the Borg Warner stays, it's property of the IMS.
Right.
But you do get a miniature Borg Warner. A little mini one. You get a little mini Borg.
A little mini Borg.
And you also get a Tag Heuer watch.
Yes.
And other races give out a watch as well.
I believe, yes. And the race that we get, you get a little laurel wreath. And you get the wreath at the 500, too.
That's right. You get the wreath at the 500. Mm-hmm. And then this race, the Watkins Glen, you get a wreath. And that goes back to the Formula One days.
Yes.
Because they gave the wreath, and then they take it to the Seneca Lodge, and they typically donate it there. And so.
And then the series winner, I believe, also gets monies.
That is true.
Yeah. Again, I don't know the exact amount.
But I feel like that almost definitely goes to the team.
Yeah. I don't think you're walking away with that.
No.
Losers, well... I mean, if you lose the race, definitely you get ridiculed by us.
You do.
And Twitter.
And you may have lost your dignity, but at least you know where to find it.
On the track. Guess it depends on what team you're with. Thanks for that question. If you guys have other questions, you know, don't hesitate to ask us. If we don't know the answer, we're going to look it up and find out the answer for you.
And if we can't find it, then we'll just make something up.
Yeah, we'll just make some shit up.
That will be entertaining. Sometimes that's better than the truth.
That's true. This was actually real. I did Google.
Yeah, this was actual.
I mean, it was according to Google, so whatever.
All right, female racer
female
news.
Female racer news. So the NHRA is here in Indianapolis.
This weekend, Labor Day weekend.
Labor Day weekend. So, actually, by the time this comes out, it has already happened.
It will have already happened, yep.
It will have already happened. I will say two females that I looked up. So we're taping this as of Sunday. Leah Pritchett was number two in her spot with a run of 3.667 at a speed of 329.5 miles an hour.
That's fast.
That's fast. I mean, we watched them. It's insane to watch them.
I want to go fast. God, what I would give to be in one of those cars. I mean,
I don't know if I could handle it.
Oh, I could handle it.
I'd have to take something, I think.
I mean, I do real good or I'd die trying, I'll tell you that.
I mean, win it or wreck it.
I mean, but 3.667, I mean, it's less than 5 seconds. It's less than 4 seconds.
That's true.
You know, I mean, it's a quick
burst.
It's
the scariest 4 seconds of your life.
Mm, most exhilarating 4 seconds of your life.
All right.
I mean, that's how I look. So now you know mine and Molly's views on life.
This
scariest
is scary.
4 seconds, most exhilarating 4 seconds. But we both would still say best 4 seconds of our life, regardless.
I mean, it might be the scariest, but will it be the best? Yes.
Damn right.
Yes, it will. Courtney Force.
Who, by the way, is the wife of Graham Rahal.
Is the wife of Graham Rahal. So they were.
But that is the least interesting thing about her.
The least interesting thing about
her. Seriously, the least interesting thing about her.
Because her father is John Force, who is like a well-known NHRA guy. He's been around forever.
Yeah, if you follow NHRA, then you know John Force.
The Force family is pretty well-known.
Which, what a great name.
I know. I love it. I'm glad that she kept it, too. I was like, good on you.
Good for you.
Good on you. It's almost as great as Will's.
It is, yeah.
I mean, it's right up there.
It is. Well, I mean, for Hot Rods, Force...
Yeah. She hit 3.847. That's her length of her run. And then
The second.
Her dad's was 3.849.
So she beat her dad's
she
by
beat her
two
dad
one-thousandths of a second.
Mm-hmm. That was exciting.
Good for her.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. I hope they do well today and then tomorrow and everything.
Yeah, no, I hope they do very well. So Catherine Legg. Which I enjoy calling Leggy.
I do too. That's how I remember it.
I know.
Leger.
Leggy. But Catherine Legg. And Sage Karam. An IMSA issue last Sunday.
So we got tweeted about this. So I had to put it in.
We did.
Because I watched it. And I got angry. They're racing. They got a little close.
Sure.
Because it's racing. And it's IMSA racing. So.
Yeah.
You're getting close in IMSA.
Yeah.
So ended up dipping two wheels outside of the course. He passed her, got in front of her, brake checked her twice. And he was like, I was just trying to clear some grass from my tires. No.
No.
No, boo-boo.
No, you were just being a dick.
You were just being a dick.
And also, I'm sorry, brake checking is only allowed on the interstate when you're being tailgated.
It's only allowed on 465.
When you're being tailgated.
And you're like, look, it's not me, it's the person in front of me.
And also, hashtag, was he wearing a shirt? Hashtag, shirts for Sage.
Hashtag.
Shut up, Sage.
Shut up, Sage.
Shut up. First off, Catherine Legg has been racing...
longer than you've been alive, maybe.
I mean, not quite, but close.
But close.
So, you know what? Step off, bitch.
Yes.
Step off.
Step off. And he was in the wrong because he got penalized for it. He got penalized for an avoidable contact. He had to do a 60-second stop and
good.
Go.
Good. Oh, I was just trying to clear the grass. Well, hey, here's a hint.
Here.
Don't drive in the grass then. If you were a better driver, you wouldn't have to go in the grass.
There you go.
So how about you just get out of the way of more experienced and better drivers like Catherine Legg?
Just saying.
So suck it, Sage Karam.
Then apparently he didn't.
And again, it also makes me feisty because Catherine Legg has raced in the Indy 500 and she should have more IndyCar spots. She's a better driver than Sage Karam.
Yeah.
I'll say it today and I'll say it every day.
My mom's a better driver than Sage Karam.
Fact.
Yeah.
And she keeps her shirt on.
She does. Also, this is probably the most exciting thing I read this week. Pippa is working with the Lucas Oil School of Racing in Florida. And she's doing a scholarship for younger female racers. And it's female racers in any sort of class. Dirt track, you know, kart racing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so they're doing a scholarship. They'll provide a seat to a female racer in one of the school's two-day events.
Any of the leagues that they have.
Yes.
They have multiple two-day events, and she's providing a seat.
There's
That's
like a
awesome.
Whole seat. If you go to her Twitter or her Instagram or her Facebook or her website, just Google Pippa Mann. I'm sure it will come up as the first thing. Because it's absolutely, like, this is exactly what females in the sport should be doing.
Absolutely. And this goes back to also what we say about Connor Daly, that he's had to work so hard for the sponsorship when, you know, Charlie Kimball, oh, I'm a diabetic, so he gets all the shit, and then Connor Daly has to fight tooth and nail for sponsorship. It's bullshit. Same as female racers can be better competitors and better athletes and still have to fight tooth and nail. And
yes. So, very excited about that.
Yeah, I'm glad that she's doing that to provide a leg up for other female racers.
That's what you need. That's what we as women need to do for each other.
We do. We need to look out for one another and help each other out.
100%.
Also, I just want to look at your notes and say that also when Sage was supposed to serve his 60-second stop, he didn't know where he was supposed to go.
So.
And Molly put, and I quote, "Can I be hired to just shake Sage for a minute? That little cocky bastard needs to be put down a peg or two."
I mean, that's exactly it. I look at him as somebody who needs to just get, I don't want to say hit, but like almost that smack by the world. Like, look, you're not the be all end all. Calm down.
Well, like we talked about with Doug.
Yeah.
You know, like somebody needs to tell you you're acting like a little pussy. You know, like how he said, like somebody's dad, you know, didn't say that, whatever, da, da, da. You know, like. And I know that people are sometimes offended by using the word pussy and whatever. Put whatever word you want in there. But you know, sometimes...
You're acting like a little bitch.
You're acting like a little bitch. Like, if your dad wasn't the one to do it, if your mom wasn't the one to do it, then somebody else...
Somebody's going to come up and do it.
Needs to have that conversation with you, needs to knock you down a peg or two and let you know, hey, this is the real world.
Yes.
Wake up.
Wake up, buttercup. You are not God's gift to racing or the world.
You're not in Kansas anymore.
No.
Okay?
Okay.
You woke up in full color. You are not in Kansas anymore.
I like that. Let's move on to the silly season for
the
a moment.
The silly season.
Shit moved. Shit, I don't want to claim that we forced Michael Andretti to make the announcement, but I will say that in our last podcast, I ended it with, Michael, please make an announcement. Some of us might have to buy new merchandise. I have to make a Christmas list, Michael.
I mean, we took a picture with him. We talked to him. I feel Maybe like he listens.
I doubt it. I doubt it. 100% doubt it.
Especially with as much shade as it's for Marco.
I mean,
Mario might listen, but
Mario
Michael.
Probably listens, but Michael probably has us on, like, the same do not talk to list that Kat got put on.
As a matter of fact, he got an email about our podcast. Do not ever speak to these women.
Andretti is going to Honda. They're staying with Honda. I guess they're not going to Honda. They're staying
They're
going to
stay with Honda. It's good for them.
Good for them. So they did that cute little video with the dominoes. And Rossi is staying with Andretti. And Napa. Napa signed on now for 10 races. I think this year it was only 6 or 7.
Yeah.
So 10 out of the 13. That's pretty good.
Yeah. And Napa signed a 2-year deal as well.
Yeah. So it's 2 years for Rossi to stay with Honda.
2 years for Rossi and 2 years for Napa, which again goes back to what we said last podcast, that I think Napa is going to stay real close to Rossi.
I think at this point they have to.
I don't think that Napa is going to go... I don't think that they're committing to any more time than Rossi's going to commit to because they want to stay with Rossi.
I think Rossi is now the Napa driver.
Yeah.
So.
Which, good for him.
Yeah.
I mean, and honest to God, I support Napa Auto Parts.
Yeah, they do well for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I love Napa.
You got that Napa know-how.
I do have that Napa know-how, as a matter of fact. Growing up working on cars, I've bought a lot of Napa Auto Parts. So, yeah, you're damn right I have that Napa know-how.
So, Andretti is now Marco. Well, that was a slip of the tongue.
Oh.
And a little hope. Marco, RHR, and Rossi, because Sato is going to RLL, although it's not been officiated. So the question is now, with Andretti, is who's going to take that spot?
If they fill it.
If they fill it. I can see them keeping four cars, though.
I mean, I can see them keeping four cars. I can also see them keeping three and trying to make Marco a better driver.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean...
So that, I mean, the biggest thing now with Andretti is, will Fernando Alonso come over?
I mean, is he really done in F1, though? Because he makes so much more money in F1.
The problem is he's with McLaren Honda over there, and their, whatever Hondas they're using in F1, just keep giving him the bad business.
Really?
It's been, and they asked him a week ago about it, and he was like, they're like, are you going to stay? Da-da-da. And he's like, well, I have 7 races left, or however many there were left at the season at that point. And there was that tweet where he's basically just playing with my emotions now, so it's okay.
So he may be done playing the sponsorship game in F1.
Yeah.
And come to IndyCar and do a couple seasons and then retire for good.
Just do it and see.
Which, again, like Doug said, makes me sad that our sport doesn't do better.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're...
That it can be looked at as a place that you go once you retire from another
or
sport.
Or if you don't even make it in F1. Like, quite a few drivers who couldn't make it, including Rossi... Came over to IndyCar. Rossi, Sato, Bourdais, Juan. So,
well, Dixon used to do F1.
Yeah. Okay, that's who I was missing.
Yep. Yeah.
So, let's see, one spot there. So, we had some insider knowledge dropped today during
the race. We did. Which, again, Robin Miller.
Oh, Robin Miller.
The face that everybody on pit road hates to see. Literally, if you watched today's race and you saw Robin Miller running around, like, you would see drivers, like, just... tuck and roll. I mean, like, dive behind cars to avoid an interview with Robin Miller. And so he rolls up to the Ed Carpenter car, and he's like, where's Spencer Pigot? Where's Spencer Pigot? And doesn't
Spencer
even realize...
Spencer was actually in the car, probably just tucked down.
Yeah, he was, like, under the dash. I mean, he's a little guy.
He's a little guy. I bet
he's a little guy.
He's a little guy.
And Robin almost missed Ed Carpenter because he was all wrapped up because it was cold today.
He had like a hat on, and I'm pretty sure he saw Robin coming, so he like pulled up his like collar.
He flipped the collar.
Had it all, but Robin found him.
Robin found him, and he was like, so,
we got some plans for next year.
You got some plans for next year? Like, what do you think about your drivers? And he was like, yeah, they both have a chance. And he goes, well, you know, do you have any information you can give me? You know, like, what drivers are going to make it for next year? Can you tell me and NBC Sports Network, da-da-da. You know, who's going to be driving for you next year? And Ed said, yeah, I am. Which...
lost it again.
Again, out of the book, 1,001 ways to say F you.
Like, no, Robin Miller, I'm not going to say anything to you.
I'm not going to play your game, Robin
Look,
Miller.
Look, Robin, I saw what happened to Penske last time.
Right?
Elio crashed because of you.
Yeah.
So we at least...
When I make a decision, you will be the first to know. thank you, Roger Penske. But yeah.
So...
Ed Carpenter, are you going to give us some insights on who's going to be racing? Yeah. I am.
Just dead ass said it too. Like, not even playing your
game. Amazing. And so I tweeted a meme. And when I tweeted it, I didn't realize all the people that I was retweeting it to. But...
you know, there's a way you can undo it.
I regret nothing. I regret nothing. I did it on my phone. Okay.
Anyway, do you want to list off everybody you tweeted that to?
I don't think we need to make, no.
You sure?
I mean, Ed Carpenter.
Yes.
Personally, Ed Carpenter Racing. NBC Sports Network. Robin Miller. Who was the fifth?
Fuzzy's Vodka.
That's right. That's what it was. How could I forget Fuzzy's Vodka? And I just did a meme of Ed's face with a caption that said, I am.
I mean, it wasn't bad.
It wasn't. I mean, all of the memes that we've made, that is definitely the least offensive.
That's true.
But you know what? Daddy doesn't back down to anybody.
Daddy does not back down.
Daddy is not afraid of you.
Daddy will be driving next year.
Daddy will always be driving.
Daddy will only do ovals.
Daddy doesn't do road courses.
Daddy doesn't do road courses.
Hashtag DDDRC. Daddy doesn't do road courses. But I feel like Spencer did very well today. And I think that he has grown throughout the season.
He has.
I don't think that JR is going to have a spot with Ed Carpenter Racing next year.
JR's spot, I think, is in trouble.
Him and his man bun are going to have to find a new home.
I don't know how that's going to work out.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of spots open. So Schmidt-Peterson Motorsport has a spot open. Hashtag who will drive with number 5.
I love that hashtag this week. My Wi-Fi was crap on the cruise, but I occasionally would see, like, who will drive number 5. And yep. I love it. But since it's not going to be Rossi, because God.
But here's the thing.
Hinge and Rossi would have been our dream team.
And I think you and I spoke about this before. Actually, although we're saying, like, who's going to drive with Hinch on Schmidt-Peterson, Hinch's contract is up. He's up this year.
He is up this year. And there has been...
silence.
Complete silence about whether he's staying with SPM or whether he's moving on and is going to be a free agent. Because, you know, there's a little bit of time where they can negotiate with their current person and they can move on. And I'm sure... each team has their own time frame for the end of the contract. So maybe he's not a free agent yet.
No, I'm not saying yet, but I would feel at this point if they're working, like, there's been silence.
It has been complete radio silence on that.
I mean, because other teams have hinted about who's staying and who's going, and as far as Schmidt-Peterson, there's nothing there.
Oh my God. I would lose my shit if Andretti picked up Hinch.
No, or, I was just about to say, because Hinch used to race for Andretti.
Yeah.
If he came back.
If Andretti or if Penske picked up Hinch.
I don't know, because Hinch has been with Honda for a while now.
But does he have a contract with Honda?
I don't know that one. That one I don't know.
Because you know what I know that Hinch likes? Winning.
He does like winning.
Come to the dark side.
But
Hinch.
I don't know if
Penske. Come to the dark side.
No, listen to her. Go to Andretti Autosport. Hang out with Rossi. I'll get disowned by my father for being an Andretti Autosport fan. But it'll be worth it in the end.
Come to the dark side. Come to the dark side.
All right, but let's say he stays with Schmidt.
We're all going to have the same aero kit next year. It's about the engine. Come to
whatever, Team Penske. Honda. Team Honda.
I know, next season we already decided Molly's clearly Team Honda.
I mean, there's no question.
And so I have to be Team Chevy, which is funny because I really don't like Chevys.
I mean, you don't have to.
There's two of us. There's two
engines.
I don't know why we are
doing the points as well as bets?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And so, like, regardless of who we pick for a winner, whichever engine wins,
much like
if it's a
real
Honda,
point standing. Yeah.
Yeah. If it's a Honda, Molly gets a point. If it's a Chevy, then I'll get a point. And I really, the only place that I like Chevys are in race cars.
Yeah.
But, so come to the dark side, Hinch.
No.
Join Pagano. Join New Garden. Be a winner.
No. You want to join Andretti and you want to hang out with Rossi. Because I
can't. How much you have to see Marco. Like, what?
That's okay.
You just have to hear this voice all the time. I don't care what you mean. You have to hear the voice all the time. That's not enough money.
Oh, I wouldn't have to listen to Marco. I'd get a t-shirt that says, I support Andretti Autosport. And on the back would say,
except
for Marco. And I would wear it. Everywhere.
Oh my God. I actually, I saw Marco Insta live this week.
Oh,
where
why?
He actually, it popped up and I didn't mean to, I was trying to clear it and then it popped up and it was, yeah. And so, yeah, but he actually was talking in a normal voice and I was like, he must have heard our podcast and us making fun of his voice because he actually was talking like a normal human being and he wasn't using this voice.
But let's say he stays with Schmidt. So we still got the number 7 open because Mikhail out.
Although Jack Harvey.
Jack Harvey's driving it now and at Sonoma. Saavedra drove it Toronto, Pocono. Well, not Toronto. Yeah, he did. Toronto, Pocono, and Bomarito. And then they had Wickens ready to do for Kohler, but Mikhail got in because of his visa.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Harvey didn't do too bad. I kind of like to see what he does in Sonoma. Before I make it a kind of a...
I would as well, and in fact, I would like to see how Harvey does before I make a final call on how I feel about where he should go. Saavedra, I'm not a huge Sebastian Saavedra fan.
I'm not a huge Saavedra fan.
I think it's ironic as shit that the first race he drove after Mikhail was taken out that he wrecked the car.
I mean, I'm just saying.
I mean, I feel like that's comeuppance right there.
Yeah.
I mean, that is just the epitome of irony and comeuppance right there. So, I don't know, it's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see.
I'd like to see.
Waiting with bated breath to see what Hinch is going to do. Because if SBM then has two spots open...
I mean, it's wild.
Yeah, that's going to get wild.
Yeah.
Dale Coyne.
Currently, they've got Bourdais and Ed Jones. I know that Bourdais is probably going to stay. I think Ed Jones would stay.
I would bet. Well, and also Dale Coyne is who funded Pippa to run in the 500.
Yeah. So, I mean, the only thing is Esteban...
I mean, I would like to see Dale Coyne maybe give her a full-time ride. Yeah,
I mean, you could switch
because I feel like she finished better than Ed Jones.
Just saying. Just putting that out there for you.
Esteban Gutierrez filled in for Bourdais.
Yeah. So,
but I'm not a huge Gutierrez fan.
I don't have feelings about Gutierrez. It's time to talk about Chip.
Chip. Chip Ganassi.
So we've got Dixon, Kanaan, Chilton, and Kimball. It's well known that Dixon's staying. Kanaan, Chilton are out. And Chilton gave an interview during one of the practice sessions where they played it that he, in his interview, he actually even said, whether I'm here or in Europe.
Mm.
And his dad apparently, like, funds his whole car, so. So we've got two spots open. Maybe three, because Kimball might be out. I've been reading on the internet there might be sponsorship issues even with Kimball.
Well, I hope there are, because he's not a good driver.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, I'm not a big Charlie Kimball fan. But obviously, Kanaan's out.
Yeah.
And Chip screwed him last race.
Yeah. And he got pulled this race. Do we know what happened?
There was an issue with his car. Okay. And they chose not to fix it and not to let him go back in.
Okay.
But again, that seems like it fuckery. I know I said last week I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth and say that they're, like, you know...
Yeah, I know.
Playing games, but it seems like they're playing games.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
So last week I said I didn't want to put words in anybody's mouth. This week I'm going to say it seems like fuckery.
It does. It's two in a row. I don't know.
It seems like fuckery and there's nothing on the internet about it. Like, it's been a lot of silence. And if it was a legitimate reason, then they would tweet about it.
Yeah, like, you know this what I'm saying? Happened, like, X, Y, and Z.
Exactly. Yeah, sad we had to pull the number 10 car because of blah, blah, blah. Like, sure.
Sure.
But there's been radio silence, and that to me looks like fuckery.
Yeah,
if it 100%. Looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck.
It's a duck. I don't know how I feel about that. So we've got some spots
open there. I think that Chip's being shady as shit.
Yeah, Chip, come on.
Chip Ganassi, grow up.
Come on.
Grow up.
You're the owner of a team. Act like it.
Okay, so you don't want to renew Kanaan. That's fine. Kanaan wasn't going to screw you.
Yeah.
But now you're trying to screw him? Actually, I'd love for Andretti to take on Kanaan.
He was on Andretti Green for a while.
He was? Well, he was Andretti Green, which was separate from Andretti.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Because that was with John Andretti.
Yeah, you could go back.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying.
Yeah, like, yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's two separates.
But. It is, yeah, because with John Andretti, which we have the, you know, check it for Andretti, but not the Andretti Autosport team that we know and I love to this day. Actually, you love Andretti because of Rossi. So I would like to see him with Andretti Autosport. I would love to see that happen.
Yeah, I mean, I would still like Hinch there more than Kanaan.
Okay. I mean, I'm not saying I would prefer Kanaan there over Hinch, but I'll be surprised if Hinch doesn't stay with SPM.
I'd be very surprised.
I'll be shocked.
Yeah, I mean, they'll be like, I'll have to leave for the day.
Yeah, like...
Like, my whole world shut is it turned down. Upside down. Is the sky
taking
blue?
I'm taking a mental health day.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I would enjoy seeing Kanaan go to Andretti. Just to kind of give a big F you to Chip Ganassi, because I feel like the Chip Ganassi team has given Kanaan quite the middle finger.
Yeah, I agree
on that. In the last half of the season.
All right, Foyt Racing, we've got Daly and Munoz. I haven't heard any rumblings that they're leaving.
I haven't either. I don't...
I'd hope not.
I hope not as well, because... I love both of those drivers, and I love A.J. Foyt. I mean, he is the GOAT.
I mean, you know, A.J. Foyt is...
He's the GOAT. And from the insider information that we have, we've not heard any rumblings between either of them and AJ Foyt.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think, when did Connor sign with Foyt? Was that just this year?
Yeah, because last year's 500, he was Pat McAfee sponsored him.
For the 500, I'm trying to think what team he was with.
I don't know.
Anyway.
So it might only be his second year, so he might not even be up.
Yeah, we might not even be up on that one, but I'm hopeful they don't leave.
And I'm hopeful because it seems like they have finally found their groove.
Yes.
So I'm hopeful.
Just in time for the new Aero kit.
Just in time for shit to change. So hopefully they find their groove a little faster next year. Mm-hmm. Because again, I love both of those drivers.
Yeah, I think they're solid drivers.
They are. I mean, I love Munoz. He's a great driver. He's got great instincts. And again, Daly. And we can't say enough nice things about Connor Daly.
Yeah.
He has excellent instincts. I mean, he was raised in a racing family.
Yeah.
He's a hell of a driver. Mm-hmm. And he's just a solid human being.
100%. I mean, as soon as we turned it on right in his interview, and I was like, man, he's just a good kid. He's a quality character.
He's a good guy.
Yeah. Rumblings about... Oh, I'm going to mispronounce
Juncos.
This. Juncos.
Juncos Racing.
Yeah.
Which they have had IndyCar teams in the past.
Yes. They've done some, like, short sponsorships, right?
They have. Actually, I believe they sponsored Catherine Legg in the past.
Yeah? Okay. And I know... So they had somebody in the 500. They're discussing putting a full-time team in IndyCar. I know that they've
Because they do a lot of work in Indy Lights.
Yeah, they've got a lights team out there. And in an interview, Spencer even mentioned he'd be interested in switching over to Juncos. Oh, maybe they sponsored Spencer in the 500. Maybe that's it. Ed didn't have a third car, and I think Juncos stepped in.
Oh, so Junco sponsored Spencer in the 500. That makes sense.
God, I hope so.
So, I mean, it's interesting. Well, and SPM, Schmidt-Peterson Motorsport, mm-hmm. they have discussed adding a third car and doing away with their lights team, which...
I don't know.
I mean, I see the pros and cons to that. You know, you want to focus on one league, but at the same time...
There's developmental
If you've
leagues.
Got the... Exactly. If mm-hmm. you've got the ability to sponsor at least one or two drivers in a developmental league... Why wouldn't you?
You should.
Because if they are coming up and you still have a contract with them, then you can just move them into your top league.
Push them right in there.
Like, why would you not do that? Whereas if you have no contracts with anybody in a lower league and people are coming up, then it's about who's got the most money. And if you're a smaller team, I mean, it's almost like a catch-22. Like, you don't want to throw too much money at the lower league, but at the same time, you want to throw just enough
to keep
that them. You've yeah. got people that you can segue into your IndyCar team.
I agree, yeah. So that'll be interesting. And somebody, and I can't remember the name, there's another team name tossed around a bit, but, well, I've drank since then, and I've slept since then.
Fact.
So those are the teams. The drivers out there that aren't currently tied down are... Veach.
So Veach is out there.
Veach is out there. Harvey's out there, though he's with, you know, Schmidt-Peterson.
Right now.
Right now. I forgot to put
Chavez.
It. Chavez.
Gabby Chavez, who we have not met him personally. We've heard from multiple race fans that he's a great guy.
Yeah.
And again, we don't really hate anybody.
No.
Except Marco. Yeah. And so, yeah, Gabby Chavez is out there. Pippa Man.
Pippa's out there.
Again.
And she's really working hard to get that full-time ride.
She's working so
Her
hard.
Her Insta is, like, trying to get it. And I was like, boo, if I had some money to put, I would.
Right? Like, if I had any kind of extra money to throw that wasn't going to the federal government for these fucking student loans.
Right?
I'd be throwing a Jew.
I'd be taking it right. I'd be like, what do I need to do?
And then Davison.
Davison's out there. I know he's doing one of the formulas right now.
He is, and I think that's what he grew up doing was the formulas, mm-hmm. but I still, he's our choice for Rookie of the Year.
He definitely is.
And I think that he could own some IndyCar. Now, am I going to be upset at him if he stays a Formula One? No, because it pays better.
Yeah, do you?
I think that he is the most under-recognized driver of the season.
I think so.
And that includes Pippa.
Yeah.
And even as a female, like, I love to support female drivers, whatever, but I think that James Davison is the most under-recognized driver of the season.
Oh, I agree with that. So he's out there. And then a couple of lights drivers to watch. Kyle Kaiser won the series. He won it today. He actually won it by just showing up.
Really?
Yeah, like by hitting the green flag, he won it. Like, he didn't even have to win the race or lead laps or anything.
Interesting. Yeah. It's interesting that in the... I mean, because we've seen some of the Indy Lights races, and so it's interesting that they're... Their series is not nearly as close as the IndyCar series.
This one was.
Which, I'd be curious to...
I mean, maybe it was a couple of years ago.
I mean, I don't know if it was or it wasn't, but I'd be curious to see how their points breakdown works out, and if it comes down to... I don't know. It's just interesting.
It is.
You know, because this league is...
It's the feeder league.
Yeah, it's the feeder league. And so when you look at, like, college versus pro on, like, football, when you have really successful college football players... They're also successful in NFL. Or sometimes they get up there and they get their ass kicked because they're not used to that level of playing.
Sure.
I'd be curious to look at the points breakdown to see, like, if that is more of a driver issue or if it's a points issue.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. So he won the series. Winning the series provides scholarship money for at least one ride next year in IndyCar. One or two.
Which typically they pick the Indy 500. I mean, why not? Because why wouldn't she?
Why wouldn't you? So, you know, he's somebody who's been talked about. Santi Urrutia had indicated in an interview that he is talking with a couple of teams that he might have a full-time ride. Colton Herta is one to watch. He pulled today. He drives the 98 for the Indy Lights team.
Oh, so now is he related to Brian Herta, I assume?
Absolutely related to Brian Herta.
I would assume that with Brian Herta being employed by Andretti, that Colton Herta is going to have a shoe-in
if and when he comes up. Because this is, I believe, just his first year on lights.
I think you're correct
so
on that.
So he's pretty young, so I think he's got to take another year or two to marinate.
Kind of get his footing. Yeah,
get a little grown up.
Let it marinate.
Ooh. And the final thing is the Penske decision, too.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all just waiting. We've talked about it ad nauseum, but...
yes,
ad nauseum. If it happens, it happens. So I'm going to pose a question to you and to myself. We're not going to answer it today, but I am also going to pose it to our listeners. So think about this. You get to create your own team. Drivers, any drivers you want. There's no issues with contracts or engines. So you got a three-team, three-car. Just think about it. And we'll talk about it next week.
You know, here's the funny thing about redheads. People say that gingers have no soul, but that's false. They have many souls. Because they collect the souls of everybody they come in contact with.
100% true.
The only reason that I still have mine is because I was born a redhead.
And I won't take one from a former ginger. It's fine.
Hey, I still have red hair on this head. It might be bleached. But that's why I have to use toner, okay?
That's true.
My ginger soul rejects you taking my soul.
You're an undercover ginger.
I am an undercover ginger. Hardcore.
So that's the homework for you. That's also the homework for our listeners.
I enjoy that. Okay.
I'm going to tweet it.
What's your dream team?
Three or four drivers. Contracts don't matter. Engines don't matter.
Yeah, so let's do three.
Let's do three.
Yeah, three drivers. Hashtag what's your dream team.
Hashtag what's your dream team. We're going to put it out there.
We're going to tweet it out. We're going to hit that on our social media.
I'm interested to see how it goes. And then we'll break ours down next week.
We'll break it down and we'll break down why.
Yeah. So with that, let's see. Want to also say that March 11th is the St. Pete Grand Prix and we're fucking going.
In 2018. It's adult spring break.
I want to see that car in action. First time out. Lego. Lego. Ooh, ooh.
Yeah, like it's we're going early.
Yes.
And so if anybody else is going to the St. Pete Grand Prix,
let us know.
I just want to say, I say Grand Prix every time unless it's an F1 race.
Well, A, we're from Indiana.
I mean, I say Grand.
Grand Prix.
Grand Prix.
I took French for 2 years and it's still Grand Prix.
No, but you say Grand Prix every time. Okay. You do.
Look at me with my French.
I know, you're like, you say Grand Prix every time. And I'm like, you're so...
Chicane. Grand Prix.
Right? I'm like, you're so...
It's really... I'm only,
sophisticated.
Only I can pronounce the Italian and the French driver's names. That's the only reason I'm here.
I've got all the Spanish drivers.
I know. I don't even touch it.
I got it down.
I don't even touch it.
So, if you would like to join us for hashtag IndyCar Adult Spring Break.
Yep.
We're starting the planning now. And so, we're going to go down to St. Pete a couple days early because, obviously, we want to see quals. We want to see practice and all that business.
We also want to see a beach.
Well, it's spring break. And then we're going to spend the rest of the week after the race on the beach. Then we're going to head back to Indianapolis and spend our normal St. Patrick's Day shenanigans.
Yep.
At the McGinley's Golden ASM.
As God intended.
So if you'd like to be part of that, please let us know. Hashtag IndyCar Adult Spring Break. Please come join us. And again, if you're going to be in Indy anytime in May,
let us know.
Come party with us.
Yes.
Come chit chat with us. Come talk shit with us.
Let us interview whatever you want. I'm just putting that out there.
And if you have any great stories,
we'd love to hear them.
We want
to
hear them.
So what do you think? Should we white flag this?
I think so.
Anything you want to add? White flagging.
I'm going to add that I think Kimball is just not a great driver. I am not upset that he's having sponsorship issues.
Okay.
I'm tired of hearing issues about him, and I'm tired of race control saying that no action is taken. I also want to say Sage Karam is a little bitch. I think he needs to put a fucking shirt on.
But will you be wearing a shirt?
Hashtag, but will you be wearing a shirt? And I did not tweet this out all season, but every time Sage tweeted anything, I would screenshot it and send it to Molly. And I would say, hashtag, but will you be wearing a shirt?
I think that might be a hashtag for the adult spring break.
Yeah, but will you be wearing a shirt?
All right, so white flag for you.
White flag for you. For me, I want to just say again, thanks to the Indy Sports Car Podcast for having me on their podcast that just dropped Tuesday.
Yes,
they were fantastic, great people. They are also involved in the Audible flagging system, which I know for us just speaks to our safety issue concern.
Yes.
Look it up. I'll find something and tweet it out. It's not any sort of new communication. It's just a way to the drivers to be alerted audibly that a flag has been, that there's an incident on the track. And I 100% believe that it would definitely decrease the amount of secondary accidents. So they are very involved.
Agreed.
Very, very much involved.
Because, you know, they have the flags, they have the lights, they have the in-car communication. But
there needs to be that final in their ear.
There does. Well, and today, I mean, we even heard Rossi on one of the Sato Rex. Rossi came over and goes, yellow flag, yellow flag, yellow flag. Like, he was, like, yelling not to notify his people, but to say, like, why the hell didn't I know that there was a yellow flag? Because in the IndyCar rules, you are required to abide by all flags. Regardless of when you became aware of them.
100%.
So as soon as the flag is thrown, you must abide by those rules. Yeah. If it's a speed, if it's a passing, if it's a whatever, regardless of when you became aware of such flag, you are required to behave in a way that adheres to the rules under that flag. So yeah, that is very important business. And actually, I believe one of the things that they... one of their main points in the audibles is that it would have helped save Justin Wilson's life.
Yes. So
that is near and dear to our heart.
So we're big fans of that. We're going to tweet some of their stuff out because I think they're really pushing hard and hopefully they're really close to getting it in. So
I mean, because we hear them come across green flag, green flag, green flag, green, 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 green.
Yeah.
But you don't hear them come across yellow.
Yeah.
You never hear that. Thanks to Indy Sports Car Podcast. Yeah.
Great people. Definitely, if you're listening to us and not listening to them, well...
You're missing out a lot. On a great podcast.
It's a great podcast. So definitely give them a listen. I think if you Google it, I might retweet a few things too, so you can find them as well.
Yeah, you can find them on Twitter. They're pretty easy to find. Yeah. So.
All right. What do you think? Should we drop the checker flag?
I think we drop the checker flag on that.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening to us.
Checker flag.